Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. My name is Irene Ward, and whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you found your way into this worship community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are a church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship today. During the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so that we are able to greet those around us by name. This morning, both of our pastors are in Jamaica on the work project with a bunch of other people from church. And we are privileged and honored to have Sister Barbara Moore with us to lead worship today. Sister Barbara has been our guest preacher several times here. She is the professor of preaching and practical theology at Colgate-Crozier Divinity School, and she is the director of the Program for Study of Women and Gender in Church and Society. Sister Barbara is a member of the Sisters of Mercy of America, and we are pleased that she is with us today. I think there's a few announcements today. Gordon?
I think I'm few announcements. Oh, there's another one. There's lots of announcements. Gentlemen, next Sunday evening at about 5 o'clock, we'd like to have you come and join us around a grill and have something to eat, do a little praying, a little studying of the Word, and fellowship together. See me after church or call me, whatever, and let me know what you might be able to share with us.
Good morning. The painting project is about two-thirds done. If you exit out there, you can get a kind of a peek at our accomplishments down there. But it's not done. We have still some other things that we need to do, including the adult lounge that still needs to be painted, and a bit of touch-up in here, and the remounting the hardware. So we'll be gathering again next Saturday at 9:30, and probably won't be too much more than about 3 or 4 hours. So if you can spare some time, an hour, 2 hours, even half an hour, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Feel free to contact me with questions. Thank you.
And now let us begin our worship with the prelude. Stand if able and join me in the call to worship. God of the ages, we sing your praises in the vineyards of our lives. where we have become ragged and wild, prune us in the way we should grow.
Nurture the soil of our home.
Heal the roots of our faith.
Bring us rain and drought, shade and scorching heat, and protection in the wilderness.
Let us again praise the Lord.
Help us to grow in your name.
Amen. Divine God, we try to grow happily, patiently, and faithfully in the soil you have prepared for us. You feed us, shelter us, and provide for our daily needs. Yet we often fail to offer you the fruit of our harvest. We act as though we were abandoned children, trying to make it on our own. We feel forsaken, attacked by wild boars, cut down by our enemies, and neglected in the wilderness of our lives. Yet through it all, you remain faithful. Renew our lives once more. Pray silently. Be assured that God's love is sufficient. In the warmth of the sun, the fertility of the soil, and the refreshment of life-giving water, we have been given all that we need.
God hears our cries. Through Christ we may lay aside our sins. Through Christ we know we are saved.
I did a little more.
Okay, we'll have the first reading of the word. Let me just find where I am. And it's Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not yet done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you, what will I do to my vineyard? I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, it shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command that the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. So ends the reading.
Take time to be holy. Speak off with your Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. To be holy, the world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone, by looking to Jesus, like him you shall be. Your friends in your conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, you soon shall be
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Irene. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, the 49th through the 56th verse. I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. What does the non-violent Jesus mean by bringing fire and division to the vineyard? My sermon title sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? So let me begin on a lighter note by saying how grateful I am to return to this wonderful church and to worship with you, and I thank you for the invitation. You may not know this, but both of your pastors over the past few months have been at Colgate, Rochester Crozier Divinity School, to share in a program called Women Thriving in Ministry and to tell their experiences to our students, and they did a great job. And we were grateful for their presence. Well, this morning in our first reading, we hear the prophet Isaiah saying, let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. Now, this image is seen in both the Christian scriptures and the Hebrew scriptures, and of course, all of us in New York State, as well as the peasants and farmers of the ancient world, understood this metaphor. For the ancient peasant and farmer, olive, grape, and fig vineyards were common and a source not only of food, but their livelihood. And you and I who are blessed to live in this region know that from the Finger Lakes west to Lake Erie, we too cherish our vineyards. And we delight in the wines as well as the tourists who discover the beauty of this region. For the ancient Israelites and their prophets, the vineyard was a symbol of the nation, a metaphor for the people. Isaiah writes, for the vineyard is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are God's pleasant planting. God was the owner. God was the tender of the vineyard. And Isaiah tells us that God went the extra mile to care for and to love the people of the vineyard. The prophet writes that God cleared the land, planted, took care of the vines, and yet they produced wild grapes, an unproductive harvest. In other words, the people turned away from God and neglected their responsibilities. God expected justice and righteousness from the people, but as Isaiah said, God saw nothing but bloodshed and heard cries. What more, God said, was there to do for my vineyard than I have already done? And so we sense the disappointment that God is expressing. And in the final verses of our reading today, God clearly indicates what was going to happen. I will make the vineyard a waste and command clouds not to rain on it. In other words, hard times were in the air, and thus the people saw in their subsequent defeat and exile punishment. Now, in the New Testament, the metaphor of the vineyard is also present. I am the vine. You are the branches. The vineyard is Christ's community, us, the church. But in the gospel today, Jesus uses a different metaphor to speak about us, to speak about his community. He moves from the vineyard to a household. And today's text may refer to the struggles happening within the early church, the vineyard of Christ, the household, the community of Christians. I think this text is a hard one. It is so hard because often Jesus and his teachings are a model for nonviolence. And his approach has inspired men and women who work for peace and justice. But here today, he talks about bringing fire and division to the community. Do you think I have come to bring peace on the earth? No. I tell you, division. And he seems to be contradicting himself, doesn't he? But you know, when you think about it, Jesus' words sound very much like what you and I are experiencing in our communities and around our world, don't they? Mass shootings, stand your ground laws, global and religious and civil conflicts, political and ideological divisions, terror threats, bombings, families divided. And sometimes when we read the paper and look at the news, it does feel like fire has come to our earth. And at other times, division seems so sharp among us that we fear the impossibility of any compromise, any unity, any solution. I mean, just look at the morning paper, the conflicts in Egypt and Syria. Look here at home, the ideological divisions in Congress. And so with this reading that seems contradictory, it is important for you and me to look below the lines of today's gospel for meaning, and at the same time to place this one message within the whole context of the gospel, which is a message of love and nonviolence. This is such an important rule of thumb when we're looking at Scripture. To take the total context of the Gospels prevents us from lifting a verse up out of Scripture and then using it as a club against others. So, what might Jesus be saying this morning? Why did Luke select this particular teaching for his gospel? And I believe the reality of the early church is reflected in the gospel and needs to be explored. What do I mean? As the early followers of Jesus grew in number and diversity, conflicts between and among members and non-believers began to rise. The vineyard was becoming more diverse. Jesus understood this reality and pointed to it. For example, in the early church, conflicts within Jewish families arose as some remained very loyal to their traditional faith and others chose to remain Jewish but to follow Jesus Christ. Now think about that conflict. The families experience the same thing today, don't they? You're selecting what church? You're converting to what faith? The ceremony for your wedding will be where? You are choosing this direction? You're marrying this person? Think of Jewish Christians who felt special, and so they were, because they were the God's chosen, but now doubly special, chosen by their new baptism into Christ. And so when others, Greeks and Gentiles, wanted to join the Jesus community, the vineyard, the question was, should they take second place to Jewish members? Should they become Jews first? Think of those conflicts. It makes sense that fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, as well as in-laws, would be divided over Jesus' message. He never intended it. But the power of his message of love and inclusion did cast a new fire among people. So the question is, what are we to do with all of these ideas and with this particular statement of Jesus Christ? I have three ideas. I'm sure you will have more. First of all, I believe when you and I take the message of Jesus Christ seriously, we're going to face opposition. And we're going to face pushback. When you and I include the other, the marginal, like the Gentiles in the early church, expect conflict. Because you see, power and the loss of power are often at the heart of opposition and division. And so is a belief that we alone know the heart of God. That one creates a lot of division. I mean, let's be practical here. Look at the current debates over immigration, food stamps, student loans, health care. There's a lot of tension there. But just as an aside, don't you find it interesting that such tension and such debates center around assistance for those with all kinds of needs, especially economic needs? Opponents to these ideas raise issues about abusive programs, but corporate welfare, corporate subsidies rarely get such attention and scrutiny. Secondly, when conflicts arise, the way we handle them is critical. Civility, respect, and honesty are essential. extreme action, extreme behavior, extreme language are violent and death dealing. And when they happen, it is clear to me at least that the whole message of the gospel of love is ignored. And thirdly, we note that Jesus points to the ability to read signs of our times. He speaks of it as interpreting the present time. And my brothers and sisters, we ignore these signs at our peril, both the negative and the positive signs. But to be aware of the signs means we have to be open to identifying them. Part of the division between and among us is because we are ignoring present realities, accurate facts, and grasping and holding on to what was. Now, if you will forgive a bit of in-house reflection, many Roman Catholics are watching with great interest the actions of our new Pope Francis. He's calling us to be aware of the marginal, the neglected, the poor, and the forgotten. And I think what he's doing is exposing the present reality of our time and signs of our time. He has seen and understands the situation and the systems that oppress the vulnerable and is calling us to be aware of them and to act. I have to tell you, it's very refreshing. These readings this morning invite you and me to ask ourselves a variety of questions. How am I tending my small part of the vineyard entrusted to me? How much effort do I make to understand current conflicts, to get accurate facts, to maintain a posture of love in the midst of division? Who and what remain at the core of my actions? And am I ready for the opposition we may face when we act? Jesus said, "I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed." My brothers and sisters, it is critical for you and me to remember we are part of that process. Amen.
two requests for prayers. My brother Tom had, we thought, conquered a couple of rare bone marrow diseases with transplants, and he's now had a relapse, and the doctors are not very hopeful. And my friend Carlene has Lyme disease. I'm concerned about that.
A couple of things. First of all, I'd like to just take a minute to thank the trustees and those who have been helping them. They've been doing a terrific job around this building. The fellowship hall is all waxed. The floors look great. New ceilings have gone in down by wrap. The rooms over here in the new wing are being painted. And it's just been a joy to see so much care being put into this building that we all appreciate so much. So I'd say keep up the good work and thank everybody that's worked on those. And also just to let you know that John McKnight's mother passed away about a week ago, and there's calling hours this afternoon at Newcomer Funeral Home, and the service will be on Monday morning at Lutheran Redeemer. So keep them in your prayers, the McKnight family.
Hi, Sharon Call. Some of you guys know my fiance, Joe, one of his good friends, who just turned 30, was diagnosed with cancer. He's got 5 months to live.
I don't know, some of you might remember Barbara Coe, who was here several years ago as one of the lay preacher students from the presbytery. I've got an email this morning that her 10-year-old grandson was seriously injured yesterday when a hot grill tipped over on him, and she and her husband were watching him. So they feel very bad that this happened on their watch, so prayers for them.
As you and I look around deeply at the vineyard, there are so many areas in need of tender care and loving support, so many we just heard. Let me add just a few others for us. Let us pray for the global community and for peace in all the war-torn, violent areas of our world, Egypt, Africa, Syria, the Middle East. For all of these people, the hundreds who have been killed and wounded, the age-long divisions that have torn people apart, we pray for peace. Let us pray for our nation, that compromise and respect may enable us to pass legislation that will assist the vulnerable and the forgotten. We pray. For the men and women called to leadership within our vineyard, the church, and the public square, may they have the courage and may they search for the common good as they make decisions. We pray. For our respective Christian denominations and people of all faiths, may we hold on to what we hold in common. May that unite us and enable us to move together in service, especially to the poor and the voiceless, we pray. For this community of faith, for the leadership chosen to serve you, for families, for those who live alone or in institutions. May all find in us a community of support, prayer, and presence. For the sick and those who minister to them, for caregivers in institutions and homes, we pray. For the dying, for those who are members now of the great cloud of witnesses and community of saints, may their lives and presence and memory be a source of strength to us, we pray. And together, as Christians of every language and culture and geographic location around the world are praying today, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
May the offerings brought this day be used as seeds planted faithfully and nurtured lovingly, so that God's way may be realized anew in this world. Grant us the humility we need to plant and tend your precious vineyard. Amen.
Thank you.
want to thank you very much for the opportunity to come back and visit. Thank you, Gordon. And thank you, Irene. And our music was beautiful. Melissa's got the touch when, I don't know, did you select the hymns? Or did she? Would that I could. So thank you so much. Oftentimes our hymns, we are familiar and we sing them and we get caught in the music and sort of miss the words, which are a sermon unto themselves. Our third verse this morning is a benediction. God bless your church with hope, despite chaotic days. May we in this chaos shine to light a pathway through life's maze. May justice be our aim and kindness ours to share. In humbleness, oh, may we walk, assured our God is there. And may God, our loving Creator, Jesus, our brother and Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the source of the kind of energy and love that is ours, be with all of you until we meet again. Amen.
Thank you.